Good evening. We're going to be in Genesis 41. Genesis 41. Can I just say I appreciate Jason every time you get up here to speak? And I know it's not you. I know you're willing to be used by God. You're his willing servant. But every time you get up here, I do get convicted because of your sincerity and your honesty. And I appreciate it. I wanted to let you know that. So thank you for that. Genesis 41, I'm going to read verses 39 to 41. So if you would stand, and then we'll pray. And then once again, we'll jump into it. Genesis 41, starting in verse number 39, it said, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, have I set thee over all the land of Egypt." And let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you that we still have power after the thunderstorm, Lord, and that we can meet together. Pray that you would make your presence known unto us and that you would help us to learn from the life of Joseph, Lord. Pray that it wouldn't be my words, but that you would give me the words to say. Help me to just be willing to give your message, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so that is almost at the end of the chapter. And when we ended on Sunday, we learned about how the chief butler forgot who Joseph was. But when Pharaoh had a dream, all of a sudden he remembered. So here in chapter number 41, Joseph is in prison. And Pharaoh has these dreams that are making him troubled, just like the dreams of the butler and of the baker. And again, the butler all of a sudden remembers that there's a man in prison by the name of Joseph who interpreted his dream, and not only interpreted it, but it came true. It came true. So Pharaoh, and we're not going to read it. It's quite a lengthy chapter. I'm just going to go through it and kind of hit the high points. But Pharaoh demands that Joseph be brought to him. And they shave him because he was in prison for probably 2 years. That's what we think. So they shave him, they clean him up, and they present him to the king, King Pharaoh. And he asks Joseph if he can interpret his dream. And if you turn to, well, look at the page here, verse number 16. He says, he asks him if he can interpret the dream. And here's what Joseph said in verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." So he asked Joseph if he can interpret the dreams. And what does Joseph do? He gives the glory to the Lord. He gives the glory to God for what he does. Joseph knows that it's not him that is able to interpret the dreams through his brain. God gives him the meaning to the dreams, and he gives the glory to God. Doesn't matter where Joseph is, he gives the glory to God. And that's how we ought to be. Because again, Joseph was just a man. So Pharaoh proceeds to tell Joseph the two dreams that he had, two separate dreams, and they have the same meaning. And you probably know what it is. If you've ever read the story of Joseph, I'm sure you have. But there's 7 years of good, 7 years of plenty. And then after the 7 years of plenty, there's 7 years of drought. And in verse 33, if you look at it, on chapter 41, verse 33, it says, "Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt." So Pharaoh tells Joseph what his dreams were. Joseph interprets the dreams with God's help. And then Joseph tells Pharaoh what he should do. Okay, he tells the king what the king should do, which I find interesting. But he tells Pharaoh that he should find someone who can take care of the supply so that the world can live. Okay, the world is going to come to Egypt so that they can live. And we'll talk about that. But he proceeds to tell Pharaoh exactly what needs to be done. Okay, Joseph had a plan. Okay, God laid something on his heart, and he had a plan of how he was going to accomplish it. And then look at verse 38. It says, and Pharaoh, well, actually, verse 37, "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants." So what Joseph said, Pharaoh liked, and the servants of Pharaoh liked. And then verse 38, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants," listen to this, "can we find such a one as this is a man in whom the Spirit, capital S, of God is. Can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is? So listen, Pharaoh, as a wicked man, a wicked ruler, recognizes that Joseph has something different about him. He has the Spirit of God in him. Do people recognize when the Spirit of God is in you? Okay, there's a lot of things that go on in the world. When you stop listening to what you used to listen to, stop talking the way you used to talk, stop doing what you used to do, and when all around you the world is doing those things and you're not laughing at the crude jokes and the things that go on in your workplace, people ought to see, man, there's something different about that guy. There's a Spirit of God in him. When the three Hebrew boys were cast into the fire, Nebuchadnezzar went and looked through the window that was there in the furnace, and he said, we cast three men in there, but there's four. And what did he say? There's one like the Son of God. He was able to recognize who God was. Pharaoh was able to recognize that Joseph had the Spirit of God in his life. I wish the same could be said about me. I pray that the same could be said about me, that people would be able to see that it's not me, it's the Lord working in my life and through my life. So he recognized something different about Joseph, much like Potiphar, and much like the keeper of the jail realized there was something that was different about this man. So what does Pharaoh do? He sets him over his household and over the entire land of Egypt. In verse 41, if you look at it, it said, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over the land of Egypt. So he makes Joseph the overseer of Egypt. Joseph had dreams when he was a 17-year-old boy that he was going to be an overseer and that his brothers were going to bow down to him. Little did he know that it would be to this extent, to this level. Okay, God called Joseph to do something and he didn't know exactly what he was going to be doing, but now he's coming to realize what God's plan for him was. So he set Joseph over the land of Egypt. And if you study the Bible, Egypt is a picture of the world. Okay, Joseph is a picture of Christ, and Egypt is a picture of the world. A lot of times when the Bible mentions Egypt and somebody going to Egypt, it says that they went down to Egypt. Okay, even when they were going up, it says they went down to Egypt. Well, they weren't physically going down. They were going down spiritually. Okay, because just what went on in Egypt and how the place was and the things that went on there. But if Egypt is a picture of the world in the Bible, then Joseph was sent by God to save the world. He was sent by God to save the world. Verse 42, look what he does. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. And look, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. Just like Joseph's father gave him when he was 17 years old, he's given another robe. He's given another coat. And it says it's a vesture of fine linen. He's given rule over everything except Pharaoh's throne. Okay, Pharaoh says that he has rule over everything except over his throne. But basically, Joseph was Pharaoh's right-hand man. Okay, it was almost like he was seated at the right hand of the throne of Pharaoh. So if Joseph is being a type of Christ, Pharaoh would represent the father because Jesus came to save the world. And Jesus also claimed to be the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. So Joseph was sent to Egypt to save the world. And guess what? In order to save the world, he had to provide the world with bread. He had to provide the world with bread. So he was sent by Pharaoh to do his will. And then look at verse 33. Here's another type. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Listen, I can see it. I can see Joseph riding through Egypt in the chariot, and everybody's bowing down to him, saying, hail Joseph. A lot like Jesus when he rode in on the donkey, okay? And they were laying down the reeds and the leaves and everything. But we know that shortly after that, they turned on Jesus. But Joseph is a type of Christ. A lot of things, again, that happened in his life point directly to what happened in the life of Jesus. Then look at verse 45. It says, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. I think I said that right. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. I didn't know what his name meant. And names are important in the Bible. But Zaphnath-Paneah means one who reveals mysteries. One who reveals mysteries. If you've been here on Sunday mornings the past 4 months, we've been going through the seven mysteries of the Bible. Okay, and a couple of those I'll just name. Maybe it will ring a bell in your head. Mystery of the rapture, mystery of iniquity, mystery of godliness, mystery of the church or the body of Christ. All of these things, listen, were mysteries in the Old Testament. Okay, all of these things were mysteries in the Old Testament. But now, because of Jesus Christ and the Bible, which is his word, we can know what the mysteries are. Okay, we know what the mysteries are. And when you find out what a mystery is, it's not a mystery anymore. Okay, Jesus is the one who reveals mysteries. Jesus and his name, another name for Jesus, is could be revealer of mysteries. Just like Joseph. Joseph was a revealer of mysteries because he could interpret people's dreams with the Lord's help. Jesus reveals mysteries in his word. And again, names in the Bible are important. I thought that was interesting. And then verse 46, it says, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. So Joseph was 30 years old when he started to work for Pharaoh. Guess what? Jesus was 30 years old when he started his earthly ministry. So the next 14 years would be a trial for sure. The last 7 years would represent the tribulation period. And the first 7 years of plenty, they go as planned. But then the drought begins and people start to panic, right? People are standing in line for food like we were a couple months ago. But people start running out of food. And here's what happens. Look at verse number 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, I want you to catch this, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. So basically, if you want to live, go see Joseph and do what he tells you to do, right? If you want to live, go to Joseph and do what he tells you to do. I, Pharaoh, have nothing to do with it. Go see Joseph. So you want to live spiritually for all of eternity? Go see Jesus and do what he tells you to do. Go see Jesus and do what he tells you to do. Listen, Joseph was the only way for people to get bread. Think about that. Joseph was the only way for the world to get bread. If they came to him and they asked for bread, he gave them bread. Listen, Jesus Christ is the only way for you to have eternal life. And all you have to do, Jason, is ask. That's it. Verse 56 and 57 says, and the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Listen, there's a famine in our world today. There's a famine in our world today. But guess what? It's a lot worse than it was in Joseph's day, because that famine was physical. Our famine is spiritual. And it's not a famine of sin. It's a famine of lack of godliness. Okay, sin is very plentiful in the world. All you have to do is turn on the television set or pull up Facebook on your phone just to see how wicked the world is. Okay, there's no lack of sin. What we're lacking, what we are famished of, is sin. Our godliness, sorry. What we're famished of is lack of godliness. Listen, there's a lot of spiritual bread available to us because I believe that we have God's perfect inspired word. So there is a lot of spiritual bread that's available to us. Okay. How much we study it is completely up to us. But listen, Jesus is willing to give us the bread of life if we ask him. But people aren't concerned with spiritual bread as much as they are with physical bread. Okay. People would rather eat physically than eat spiritually. And sadly, it's that way for a lot of Christians. They would rather eat physically than spiritually. But go ahead and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Starting in verse number 33, it says, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So again, verse 33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Jesus Christ is willing to give life to the world. He is the bread of life, and his words are the bread of life. So how do you get full? Well, you eat, right? You eat until you're full. But you just don't get full once and never eat again, right? You eat a couple hours later, or the next day in some cases. But once you get full, pretty soon after, you're going to want to eat again. So why would you think that just reading the Bible one time is going to help you for the rest of your life, or one time a week, or one time a month? You should be reading every day. If you treated the Bible like you do food, then you'd be going to it a lot more. You'd be going to it a lot more. But again, people aren't concerned with spiritual bread. They're concerned with physical. And then verse 34, look what the disciples said. "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." You know what I think of when I read that? The Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, what is that? His word. His word, the Bible, is the bread of life. And then verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Listen, all the people had to do in Joseph's day was come to him, come through him, and ask for bread, and he'd give it to them. It was only through him that they could be saved from starvation and from dying. And listen, all we have to do is come through Jesus to get the bread of life. Give us this day our daily bread. So let me tell you something here. Here's the devotional application, and I'm going to spend quite a few minutes on this. The people outside the city of Egypt, okay, whatever city Joseph was in, the people outside of that city, and the people outside of Egypt and the other countries that were mentioned, they had to be told, listen, they had to be told that there was bread available. They had to be told that there was bread in Egypt. How, in a famine, in the world that they lived in, no technology, how would someone in a famine know that there's bread in Egypt unless somebody told them? How would people survive the famine in the land if nobody told them where the bread was? They wouldn't. Somebody had to tell them. Somebody had to tell them, Jason. The bread, I'll say this, the bread wasn't just for a certain group. It wasn't just for the Egyptians. Joseph saved it so that he could save the world. So here's what happened, I think, and you'll probably agree with me. So there was people that got bread, and they were unselfish enough to go to their neighbor and say, there's bread in Egypt. Guess what? There's bread in Egypt. We don't have to die, right? We can live now because some man named Joseph is in Egypt, and he's giving people bread. So they get the bread, and they were unselfish enough to go to the neighbor and say, there's bread in Egypt. Well, who do I see? Go see Joseph. Go see Joseph. He'll give you bread. He'll give you bread. Listen, God gives you daily bread if you ask him, and you get it through reading his word. Now, in my mind, I like to think of bread as knowledge. I like to think of bread as knowledge. Well, knowledge of what? The Lord and his saving power, right? The bread also, again, is God's word, the Bible. But listen, what is the point of having bread if it just sits there on the shelf? There's no point in having bread number one, if you're not eating it, and number two, if you're not going to eat it, give it to someone that wants it, right? There's no point in having bread if you're not going to use it and if you're not going to eat it. Listen, bread and knowledge that just sits there on the shelf is no good. And eventually you can't eat it. You can't eat it because it gets moldy and gross. So don't let your bread and your knowledge go to waste. Listen, I'm sure there were people that went to Egypt. They got the bread and they put it in their sack and they snuck it into their house and they didn't tell anybody about it. Well, why would they do that? Because they wanted it all to themselves. They wanted it all to themselves. They got it and they didn't tell anybody about it. And you think, how shameful, right? But listen, we have the bread of life and we do the same thing. But then there were those that when they would receive it, they would joyfully tell others where they could get the same. And they would say, the bread is in Egypt. You go there and you find a man named Joseph, and he will give you the bread so that you do not die. He'll give it to you. So let me ask you, who are you like? Are you like the ones who stuff it in your sack and it just sits there and you just kind of eat it once in a while, but you never share it with anybody else? I hope not. I hope I never get like that. Or are you like the people who, when they receive the bread of life and the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, they want to share it with other people? Lord, help me to be like that. Lord, help me to say, if you want the bread of life, go see a man named Jesus. They said, go see a man named Joseph. I'm saying, go see Jesus. He'll give you the bread of life. Now, let me ask you, do you even bother to get your daily bread from the Word of God? Do you even bother? Do you even put forth the effort? I watched a man come into a church one time, not here, and he was wearing a nice black suit. And he had his Bible, and as he walked through the door, he wiped it on his pants. And you could see the dust that was on his pants. And I'm not kidding. You could see it. Like, it was obvious. And he probably thought, man, nobody saw me. But, and maybe he reads his Bible on his phone. I don't know. But the point is, treat your Bible like you treat your food. Every day. Every single day. Put in some effort to get the daily bread. Don't pray to God to get the daily bread. Just do it. Don't pray about it if you're not going to do it. I'll say that. If you don't put forth the effort or even bother to get daily bread from God's word, then you're starving spiritually. And guess what? God's not going to use somebody who doesn't obey him. Okay? God's word is given to us for a reason, not to sit on the shelf, but for us to read it and apply it to our lives. So if you don't read it, you're not obeying God. Therefore, you cannot be used of him. So do you get your bread from God? Maybe you do put forth the effort and you get your bread from God and you have the knowledge of the saving power of Jesus Christ. But again, you just stow it away and you don't tell anybody where you got it. You don't tell anybody of the man named Jesus that supposedly changed your life. Come on, what are we doing? What are we doing? Listen, we have the answer and the solution to the famine of lack of godliness that's in our world. We have the answer. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? There's a remedy for sin, and his name is Jesus Christ. There was a remedy for the famine that was in Joseph's day, and his name was Joseph. And again, the famine isn't of sin, but lack of godliness. So let me tell you about something that's worse than running out of physical bread. I'll tell you about something that will destroy you from the inside out, something that ruins families, ruins homes, ruins lives, destroys people. And if you have any sense at all, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sin. Listen, sin is responsible for the famine that is in our land. Okay? The famine isn't of sin, it's because sin. There's such an abundance of it that there's no godliness. But where sin abounds, grace doth more abound. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that Jesus doesn't just, those people are nuts, right? They don't want anything to do with me. I'm just going to forget about them, right? Hopefully the next generation will turn out okay, right? I'm glad that he doesn't do that. His grace abounds, but listen, we have to be willing to be used. We have to be willing to distribute the bread to those people that are hungry. Sin is responsible for the famine in our land, and it's waxing worse and worse. And listen, nobody's feeding the hungry spiritually. There are people that are hungry for God's word. They just don't know where to get it. Are you going to tell them? If you were in darkness, just think about yourself for a minute. If you were in darkness for your entire life, however old you are, you've never seen the light of day, and you would want somebody to come to you and show you the way out, show you the light. You would want that. If you had cancer, right? My grandfather died of cancer. Your dad has cancer. If you had cancer and you had the cure, why on earth would you keep it for yourself? Why would you keep it to yourself? If I had the cure for cancer, I would tell somebody that can get the word out, because I wouldn't be able to get the word out. I'm not, I don't even know what an influencer, is that what they're called now? Influencers on Instagram. I'm not like that. I can't get the word out as fast, but I would certainly tell somebody who could, because people die from cancer. Right? People die from all of these diseases that we have no cure for, but guess what is a lot worse than cancer? The disease of sin. But you have the remedy for it. You hold it in your hand if you have God's word, but what are you doing with it? If you were driving in the dark and it was raining and you were about to go around a bend and the road was washed out, and you were about to fly 300 or 400 feet headlong to your death, you would want someone to get out there and say, stop, the road is washed out, you're going to die, right? People are flying down the highway to hell, and nobody's stopping them. Come on, what are we doing? Think about it. Think about it. If you were starving, listen, I was in Boston one time, and there were homeless people everywhere, okay? They're begging for food. Right? Some of them begging for money. But if there was a homeless man outside of a restaurant, okay, just think about this. Might be a weird illustration. It makes sense in my head, so hopefully it makes sense in yours. But if there was a homeless man sitting outside of a restaurant holding a sign that said, I'm really hungry, please give me some money or give me some food, why would you go in there, order some food, and come out and sit next to him and eat it in front of him? Right? And you might think that's extreme, but guess what is worse than not telling someone who's about to drive off of a cliff headlong and die? Guess what's worse than having the cure to cancer and not telling somebody? Guess what's worse than eating food in front of a hungry person? Having the word of God and the knowledge of the saving power of Jesus Christ and knowing that there are lost people out there who are searching and who are hungry and not telling them about it. That's a lot worse. Listen, sin will fill people, but sin doesn't satisfy them. Sin fills people, but does not satisfy them. Hey, it's good for a season, but it's wrong, and it doesn't satisfy them. Listen, I want to be satisfied, and the only one that can do it is Jesus Christ. You'll be a lot more satisfied in the Lord if you are pointing people to the Lord. And guess what? If you are not witnessing to people, you are sinning against God. You're sinning against God. Joseph had the bread that was going to sustain life. You have the bread that can sustain spiritual life for all of eternity. What are you going to do with it? Listen, there's famine and hungry, and they're looking for somebody who's different. Are you different? Not just on Sunday. Listen, here's what a hypocrite is. I read this today and I thought it was really good. And I said, man, I got to incorporate this somehow. But here's what a hypocrite is. Someone who doesn't act like themselves on Sunday. A hypocrite. Someone who doesn't act like themselves on Sunday. So these people, they get filled with sin from day to day. But they're never satisfied. Jesus Christ will satisfy their hungry and thirsty soul, as John 3:35 says. They'll never thirst again. They'll never hunger again. Listen, they need somebody to come along with the bread of life. We sang number 93. I love that song. But the second verse says, the Holy Spirit has been working to soften up a heart. All he needs is a willing servant to simply do his part. Listen, people aren't just going to get full of God by accident. It's not just going to magically happen, right? I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe that God picks certain people to be saved and certain people to not be saved. I believe that he does do the drawing, but somebody has to tell them where the bread is at. And somebody needs to tell them who to go see, right? Go see Joseph. He has the bread. Go see Jesus. He's the bread. God's will is for all men to be saved. And his sacrifice was enough for the sins of the world. And all you have to do is ask. There are still people in this famished and sinful, wicked world that are searching through the darkness to get to the light. But who's going to show them the way? Who's going to show them the way? Listen, there are people, much like the prodigal son, who are sick of living with the swine, who are sick of living and eating what the swine eat. Listen, if you're unsaved, all you've ever known is a world of sewage. All you've ever listened to is hell and sewage, right? Once you taste the bread of life, you don't want that again. But if you don't taste it, you don't know about it. You have to taste and see that the Lord is good. So there are people in the world who need to be told. But guess what? We have a problem. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here's the problem, Jason. There's no one showing them the way. That's problem number one. Problem number two, nobody's sharing the truth because the truth kind of hurts sometimes. And number three, no one's giving them the bread of life. Right? Again, it's just not going to magically happen. Someone's just not going to magically come and wake up someday and say, oh, that's how I get saved. How come I didn't know that before? Right? It doesn't happen that way. Somebody has to tell them. Somebody has to tell them. No one's showing them the way. No one's sharing the truth. And no one's giving them the bread of life. And guess what? Just like the person down the road, we don't know if he was saved or not. Irene's neighbor, if he's not saved, he split hell wide open and he's suffering for all of eternity right now. You think it's hot in here right now? Just think about what hell's going to be like for your unsaved friends and for your unsaved family. You think this is bad? Just think about them for a minute. That ought to put some fire under you. Amen. Listen, if your only concern is about your family, your closest family, and your closest friends, and guess what? You're playing right into Satan's plan. If your only concern is for your closest friends and your closest family to be saved, Satan's all right with that. Because you know what? God's will is for you to be a witness to everybody, not just people who you get along with, but your neighbor. Right? Your coworker, the distant family member, the cousin that you don't like, right? The person that cut you off on the road. God's will is for all men to be saved, but listen, it's not just going to happen unless somebody goes forth. Who will go? Send me. Send me. I want to do the Lord's will. I want to point other people to Christ. God's will is for all men to be saved. So you want bread? Go see Joseph. You want to know who saved my life and changed me completely? Let me tell you about a man named Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the light. Nobody comes to the Father but by him. There's people searching. Are you going to tell them? Here's something to think about. If you want your parents to be saved, witness to your neighbor. If you want your sister or your brother to be saved, or your friends, witness to your coworker. Why? Because they'll see that you're not just different on Sunday. You're not a hypocrite. They'll see that you just don't want them to be saved, but you want everybody to be saved. Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's not just your closest family or your closest friends, right? You want them to be saved? Well, start witnessing to other people because they will see. You know, the Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. Well, when it comes to witnessing, a lion don't care, right? If it's going to attack something, it's going to do it, right? It's strong and it's just going to go for it, right? We ought to be like that. I don't care what these people think of me. I don't care if they don't like what I'm saying, Ronald, right? I know you have people say, I don't like what you're saying, right? And they just stop talking to you. Listen, it doesn't matter. The righteous are bold as a lion. You're doing what God told you to do, what he actually commanded you to do if you're witnessing to people. Listen, you have the bread of life. Are you going to share it? If you know, listen, like we talked about Sunday, if you know what God saved you out of, then you know what the unsaved crowd is in, okay? And they are searching for a way out. Not all of them, but a lot of them are searching for a way out. And you have the remedy. You have the remedy to sin. And what is that? Well, Jesus Christ, he came to earth born from a virgin, and he lived a sinless and perfect life. And at the age of 30, he started his earthly ministry, and he healed the sick, and he made the lame to walk and the blind to see. And at the age of 33, he was crucified, right? He had the crown of thorns placed on his head. He was beaten and bruised, had his beard ripped off for me and you. They hit him with a reed, and they whipped him, and they put nails through his hands and through his feet, and he hung there for 6 hours, and God turned his face away because he can't look upon sin, and he did that for you. That's the remedy. But thank God he didn't stay dead. He's not in the grave. He's not in the grave anymore. And you know what? Just like Joseph was Pharaoh's right-hand man, Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And anytime I sin, which I sin all the time, God help me. But anytime I sin, he holds up those hands and he says, it's under the blood. Amen. I'm glad for that. Jesus is not only the one that keeps me saved. He did the saving and he keeps me saved. I'm glad for that. You cannot lose your salvation. But are you going to tell other people what he did for you? You have the remedy. Let me ask you this. Are you worthy to bear the message? If you're willing, God will make you worthy. The message of the gospel. Joseph was honest, trustworthy, and he was faithful and obedient to God. He was put in charge of distributing the bread to the world because he knew that if he didn't, they were going to die. And listen, you've been commanded, as we heard earlier, to be the light, to be the salt, and to tell others of the bread of life. So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to open up the storehouses like Joseph did? Said he opened up the storehouses. He didn't just keep it for himself. He very well could have. He could have kept it from his brothers. You know, I was going to try to go through the rest of the story of Joseph, and I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Maybe next time, because there's like 10 more chapters. But listen, he very well could have kept the bread from his brothers after what they did to him. Right? But he recognized that God used them to fulfill his purpose for Joseph's life. So are you going to open up the storehouses? Or are you just going to keep them shut and keep it for yourself and keep it for your closest friends and your closest family and not the people that you don't get along with, not your neighbor, not the people that cut you off in traffic, so on and so forth? What are you going to do? Look at Romans 10. I'm almost done. Romans 10. Verse number 14, Romans 10, 14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Listen, if someone's going to get saved, someone has to tell them who does the saving. They won't be able to believe on somebody that they don't know. They won't be able to believe on someone who they haven't heard about. And they won't be able to hear without somebody telling them who has the bread of life. Listen, we're not all pastors. I get that. But we can all preach the gospel of Christ. We can all preach the gospel of Christ. If they didn't know that there was bread in Egypt, they would have all starved. If nobody told them where to get the bread, they would have all died. If they never said, listen, there's bread in Egypt, go see the man named Joseph, they would have died physically. Listen, you have to tell people Because dying spiritually is thousands of times worse than dying physically. That's your job. What is God's will for your life? For you to be salt and light in a dark world. Somebody needs to tell them. Somebody needs to take ownership of the bus. I'm glad that Kenny's taking ownership of talking to people about passing out tracts, keeping us accountable. How can you serve God eight words?
When I'm at the store, even if it's the same person, I don't care. Okay, and I'm not bragging on myself at all because I'm literally nothing. I'm a nobody. I deserve hell just as much as the next person. But listen, when they scan my stuff and they go to give me the receipt, here's what I say. This tells you how to get that. And if they take it, I say, thank you for thanking that. Please read it. How
hard is that? Doesn't seem very hard until you get there and you start sweating because there's people behind you and the guy is all tatted up and he's got a six pack in his hand, right? He might not like what you say. The righteous are bold as a lion, right? How hard is it to just hand somebody a piece of paper has seven verses in it, the Romans Road? It's a clear way to get to heaven right there. So listen, you have to tell people. You have to tell people. The least that you can do is give this to somebody. The least that you can do is give this to somebody. Okay, you don't even have to say anything. Just hand it to them. You don't like talking? I don't like talking to people that I don't know. Just hand it to them, right? Just say, will you take this? Right? Will you take this? Can you imagine what Paul would have done with the technology that we have nowadays? Right? He would have single-handedly turned the world upside down. I'll just say that. But what are we doing with what we have? Right? Paul didn't even have the complete written word of God. We have it. We have all the mysteries made known to us because of Jesus Christ. We know what he can do, not only in our lives, but in the lives of other people. But we're not doing anything with it. We're not saying there's bread through Jesus Christ. So are you going to tell? Are you going to tell? One of my prayers is that I would just be a better witness to the Lord. Because people are starving spiritually. They are spiritually searching for the Lord. And sin is just getting worse and worse. The world's, I don't know if there's ever going to be another revival. I pray that there is. But what are we doing to try to make it better? Right? It's as simple as giving someone a piece of paper. It's that simple. I'm thankful for Kenny. If you don't, and I'm glad he's not here because he'd be laughing at me, but I'm glad for Kenny because he said, I'll just give it to the kids, tell them to give it to their parents. I think he said a couple weeks ago, he gave it to someone and they threw it down on the ground and they said, I don't need that. And you know what he did? He didn't start feeling sorry for himself like I would have, but he picked it up and said, someone else will. Someone else will. Listen, there's people that are willing to hear the gospel. They're searching and nobody's telling them. Lord, help me to be more like Kenny. Lord, help me to hand out more tracts to people. Listen, I'm not going to reiterate everything that I said on Sunday, but we deserve hell just as much as the next person. Don't think that you're better than anybody. Don't look down on anybody. They're right there in the pit next to you, right? When you get pulled out, they got pulled out right next to you if they're saved. You got to remember that. There's bread to be had through the man, Jesus Christ. Are you going to give it out? Are you going to open up the storehouses like Joseph did? Are you going to point people to Jesus Christ? Or are you just going to keep it for yourself? Listen, it'd be a lot easier just to keep it for yourself. I know, it'd be a lot easier just to keep it for yourself. like I said, when there's people in line behind you and you get embarrassed and you think, maybe I shouldn't do this, I'll do it next time. Just do it, right? God will reward you. Be bold. Be bold. Have a plan. Joseph had a plan. You want to be better at passing out tracts? Keep them in your car. We have a John in Romans waving in our face in the visor. And that's where all of the tracts are. But I mean, wherever we're going, it's constantly waving in our face. And we can see plainly. I mean, it's right there. Help me to remember to take a track in, right? Even if it's just one. Even if it's just one. I could keep rambling on and on, but I'm not going to. But you guys get the point. I think I'm preaching to the choir. But listen, this is something that I struggle with, and probably you guys do too. But open up the storehouses, right? God wants you to distribute his bread of life that you hold in your hand. You have a remedy for sin. And his name is Jesus Christ. Dave.
Thank you, Jake.